Now, Father, we come in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. And Lord, we commit everything to him. Lord, you're so beautiful, Lord God. And your love, again, your grace, your mercy. Lord, your hand, firm yet so kind. Powerful yet so gentle. And Lord, we just want to come after you. Fully purposed, Lord. You've drawn us. You've called us. Help us to just cease from our own works and enter into this rest, this beautiful rest of the bride. Lord, cause us to come in and to sup with you. You've prepared the food. You've given us the teeth to eat it. Give us desire today. And we thank you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going on this morning from last week. And if you turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 27, it says, But God. And this is what God chooses. And this is what matters, is what God chooses. Not what man thinks, not what even Christian man thinks, not even what self-righteous Christian man thinks. Here's what God thinks of always. I've chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. We rejoiced so much last week. Like I say, we're a congregation of the Arnots. And oh my, what's coming. The glory that's going to be revealed in us. We know that not because of good thinking, not because of anything that we've done, but because he's faithful and his word is true. He told us the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I thank God that I've been receiving his glory. I've been staring into his glory, his precious face, for all these years. And the Lord said, I'll change you from glory to glory into my very image. And I believe him. And so I thank God with what's a-coming. But the Lord, take us on today. Turn on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says there in verse 18. Oh, what a verse. And this is us, brothers and sisters. While we look not. See, this is what we're doing right now. This is what we should be doing right now. People ask me what you should be doing. Well, this is what you should be doing. And this is really what Christ's life in us wants to do. Let God do it. While we look not at the things which are seen. Don't look at the things which are seen. But look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Eternal. It's telling us here, look not at the things we see, but look at the unseen. What is the unseen? What is the eternal? Christ in me. Christ in you. Now, wait a second. I thought everybody walked around here and, oh, look at my testimony. See me. I believe it's him. Amen. And it's his testimony. And I thank the Lord that he's telling me these are things I can't see. And I need to be on the things that I can't see as opposed to the things that I see. So what can't I see? I can't see Christ in me under this flesh. I can't see it. Mm-mm. Nope. And I guess I'll just testify to you about my unruly and my disobedient flesh. But God has encouraged through his word to our lives to look at the perfect life of Jesus. The perfect life of Jesus. Not somewhere up there at the right hand of God, but the perfect life of Jesus Christ that lives in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the beauty of the plan of God and the beauty of salvation and the beauty of the Lord saving us. He didn't just save us. He came to live in us. And his seed, praise God, was put in us. And it's a seed that remains. And he tells us clearly, 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 so many different ways. That's what baptism is. You died when you accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior. You died. I'm crucified with Christ. I died with him. But yet now I live. I'm raised with him. Amen. And now this life that I live is no longer me that's living. It's Christ that lives in me. Amen. And the life that I now live, this life of Christ that lives in me, lives the same way that Jesus lived, the same way only Jesus lives. He lives by faith. See, Christ is perfect faith. Christ is perfect. His life believes completely, always in the Father. Always. Always the Father's will. Always that. The beauty is, he's perfect. He's a perfect man. In a weakened body like ours, but yet he's still very God of very God. He could not fail. Now we have the life, but we're not God. And we're in the same weakened flesh. And you know what happens? We're going to fail. But the life's the same. The perfection's the same. Everything about that's the same. It has the same faith. See, that's what, by the grace of God, I'm learning to rely on. It's not me believing. It's the life of Christ that's in me. Praise God. I have all the faith of Jesus Christ that lives in me. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. If it's his life that lives in me, then what life is it? It's his life. Is his life capable? Does it have the capacity to believe all the word of God? It is the word of God. Praise the Lord. But that's the beauty about how the Lord has given to us this life in this imperfect flesh, that we're going to see some things with our eyes and not just see it exterior, see it in the mirror, see me doing things. As Paul said, oh, the evil that I would not that I do, but the good that I would that I don't do. I'm seeing that. But what's the Lord tell me to look at? The unseen. Paul, come on. I need you to see Christ in you, son. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So Christ in me under this flesh, under this unruly, disobedient flesh, there's that perfect life. That's what he wants me to rejoice in. That's what he wants me to fellowship in. That's what he wants me to have my only confidence in, is that new birth, that new man. Not in what I do, not in how I'm acting, not in how I'm feeling. The confidence is in the new man, the new life that's in me. Amen. Now, how do we see the unseen? How do we see that new man in us? The Word of God. See, I still believe, we still think that, well, the way I'm going to see the new man in me is what I do, is what good works that come out of my life. They'll come. Be focused on this. You will transform, because as you feed the Word of God into the life of Jesus that lives in you, one thing happens, it grows up. The whole purpose, everything that's preached in this precious word, it's about us growing up. The Word of God tells us to quit being a child and to grow up. Put away the childish things, the foolish things, and grow up. But how do we grow? We grow in grace. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if it's grace, then what does the Word say? It's not works. It's either works or grace. So if I'm going to grow, it's not going to be in works. If I'm going to grow, it's not going to be in what I'm watching Jesse do. I'm going to grow in that grace. And that grace is going to have one thing that's evident in my life. It's love. It truly is. It's a love. It's a joy. It's a thankfulness to God. It's understanding how weak I am, how base I am. But that's what God chose. And that's all of us. It's just coming into that understanding, as Paul said so beautifully, oh, wretched man that I am. Had to go through all of that. I could just see him. It's like, oh, and the Lord's just holding him here. And, you know, we get so emotional and so dramatic, and not just dramatic, traumatic. And then he finally gets it. And he says right there at the end of chapter 7, he said, I thank the Lord that with the flesh I serve sin. Actually, let's go back and get that right first. I thank the Lord that with the mind I serve the law. and I thank the Lord with the flesh, I serve sin. I get it. I get it. That simple, that verse, so beautiful. The Lord laid it out for us through the Apostle Paul. He had to take on that wrestling for me. If I just read the Word of God, it's amazing. It's just like, here's my older brother, my older sister. Praise God. I was a baby. I shouldn't have made as many mistakes as they did. Right? There was the examples we had. Oh, I'm never going to do that. It's amazing what we do. But here it is. That's how we gain wisdom, is we understand these things. And it wasn't, you know, Paul didn't say, follow me in how I walk and how I live and what I do, and you've got to be a minister, or you've got to be an apostle, or you've got to be this. No, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. I've been given this doctrine. I've been given this word that's going to judge the secrets, the intent of the heart of men according to Jesus Christ. And boy, he brought that out, and we brought that out on Wednesday, and how powerful and bold Paul was in grace. Paul didn't have the pedigree of the disciples that he walked around with Jesus for 3.5 years. He didn't say, well, I've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. I ate and I slept with him and I did all this. No, matter of fact, I was trying to kill you guys. I was out to kill you. But Jesus, he said, that's my guy. That's going to be the magnificent vessel to magnify my grace, the worst of the worst. And then, isn't it beautiful? The Lord saves him, fills him, gives him this incredible, precious message. And yet, Paul, because he didn't write this Romans for 30 years, knowing the Lord, 30 years walking with God. And so here he is at this time. He's still just coming into it, really. Lord, I get it. Oh, I wanted to do everything good, but you know what? I can't. Now, Paul, honey, who's going to be magnified here? If I didn't put these thorns in your life, honey, if I didn't let you to see what you are, but for me, with all of this knowledge and all this wealth of truth that I've given you, Paul, you would have been puffed up. You would have just turned away and walked away and thought, oh, I've got it. The sad part is quite a few that have been and received this gospel feel that way. He must increase and I must decrease. And God help us, brethren. Lord, never let it stop. Never let it stop. Now, it's so beautiful because, see, he prefers and adores and nurtures this life that's in us, the unseen. This is what the Lord is about. Everything about us is about Jesus in us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Inside this lump, as the Word of God calls us, a lump. We're a new lump, though. Inside that lump, praise God, is a masterpiece. We talked about it just last week. Remember as we were speaking about Michelangelo? And there was that big old piece of marble. It sat there for 35 years. Those two tried it and they said, oh, it's just a junk piece of marble. It's too pitted. It's too porous. It's too weak. Nothing will ever come out of that. And then here came the master. And the master, I loved it. I could even see Michelangelo saying, oh, yeah, you guys can't, but I can. Oh, do you want us to go get you another piece of marble? Nope, got to be that one. That's got the masterpiece in it. I'm going to show you. And out of that precious piece of marble, there came the David. Well, praise be to God. Out of that discarded lump, out of that useless piece of rock, oh my, what he always knew was there, because he put it there. It wasn't a happenstance. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to do this on the fly. He saw you in ages past in him. And see, it's just like Jesus. When he came and he walked as man, everybody didn't flock to him and say, oh, that's Jesus. That's God's only begotten son. No, he was the lowly guy. He was an ugly guy. He was. There was no beauty upon him that you'd behold him. Those pictures of Jesus that they have, that he looked so handsome, he didn't look like that. Not according to the Bible. No, he didn't. But they were looking for this, you know, an Adonis, this beautiful one, or whatever it was, the triumphant entry. It ain't going to be that way. Here's the truth. And that's what the Lord's looking in your life. Is that truth there? Is the love of the truth there? Oh, Lord. Now, Christ, I'll tell you what, the Master, he sees the masterpiece. And that masterpiece that he's been seeing for ages and ages is the love of his life. That's the truth. Says to us, he says, he saw us in love in ages past. In love. It didn't say he saw us good or he saw us lovely or he saw us in love. There was a pursuing of this. He wanted this bond. He had to have it. It was his whole purpose that he was going to have that wife. And we thank God that in that and in his foreknowledge, remember, the Lord foreknew all this. He knew everybody's life. He knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to ever come to the knowledge of the Lord. He was always going to have a hardened heart. So he said, okay, Pharaoh, if that's what you're going to choose, I got a great appointment for you. The word of God says that he has appointed, he's appointed the wicked for the day of evil. There's a lot of wicked out there. He just appoints them. Said, man, that guy's being awful evil to me. Well, you were one of the wicked that got appointed. That's what you signed up for way back. And the Lord foreknew it. He foreknew that heart would go that way. Just like the Lord knows that your heart, by God's grace, he foreknew that you'd want to hear this bridal message. This is, once again, why we don't hear another truth. Matter of fact, there isn't another truth. And there isn't another doctrine. And there isn't another gospel. It's just this gospel. And that's why I thank the Lord for it. And it is that exact. And you read throughout the Word of God, and that's why people say, oh, well, you think you're so special. No, I know God is that special. And I know God's grace is that amazing, and it just works that way. He didn't go getting a multitude. He would call one at a time. He would bring them in like that, and he would deal with them. And even if it was just one prophet like Jeremiah, he thought he was the only one just weeping and all of this. But how many times did that happen? Whether it was even with Elijah. He thought he was the only one and weeping and all this. And the Lord said, oh, I got a couple hundred more. That's how he deals. He removed himself from the masses of people. He was always looking for that one that had the heart. This is what this gospel is. This is what this gospel is seeking. And this is why, by the grace of God, you should be excited. Because of the foreknowledge of God, it's predestinated you. It's predestinated you. You realize, praise God, you are that discarded lump, but there's something there. This is why the Lord preaches this to you. This is why he woos you all the time. This is why you can't get away from it. Well, I say, oh, I don't need to go here. I don't need to hear him. I don't need to do that. Oh, and then you just kind of feel sick, and it's the truth. There's some that'll walk away, that just saw it for a minute. You know what? That was nice. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excels them all. I love when the Lord sets a hook in us. It's amazing. But see, from the foundation of the world, this is what he was wanting and desiring, is that one that would be fully grown with him. That's the masterpiece that's in you. And again, that's the point. You can't see it. You can't. From the outward appearance, you can't see it. But the whole plan and the purpose and the provision, and he gave the power. It's there. And by the grace of God, we know that it's going to transform and that masterpiece is going to come forth. I had a precious brother tell me about and remind me again of a little insect that we enjoy so much called a butterfly. And I think how beautiful it is because it really does lay out so gloriously the appearing of Christ in us. The whole purpose of a caterpillar is one. A butterfly's coming out. And really, there's nothing else like it. I mean, we were just rejoicing. There's really no other creature really like the caterpillar to the butterfly. And it really does make your, you know, you scratch your head and you, my goodness, how the Lord chose that transformation and how that represents us. Because, see, every single butterfly begins as a ugly, homely caterpillar that you look at, you don't even want to squish it because it's so nasty, it's going to get all over your shoe. You know what I'm saying. I don't mean to be disgusting, but you just want to get away from it. It's just kind of a weird-looking thing and odd-looking and horns. And it's like, man, did that thing even get created right? But I'll tell you what, that caterpillar has one purpose in its life. Out of it's coming a butterfly. And I tell you, butterflies, they're majestic, glorious. They float around, flip around, all the different colors on them, all the different things that they do. They're just absolutely beautiful. The transformation will happen. It's not an if, it's going to happen. But it's going to happen at an exact moment, an exact time. And the beautiful thing about that caterpillar is that shell, that caterpillar little shell, it's completely discarded. Everything that comes out of that caterpillar is new. It's a completely new creation. There's nothing of the caterpillar that continues in the butterfly. It didn't keep its eyes, it didn't keep its ears, or whatever a caterpillar has, I don't know. But it doesn't have anything of it. It's just a little encasement. But all of that beauty is right there. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what's so beautiful. We're like that butterfly. There's all that beautiful divine plan and that glorious appearing of the bride. It's all there in the life of Christ in us. And I'll say it today, us caterpillars. And that's the truth. We're just like that. Just kind of look funny, act funny, don't look right. All of these different things about a caterpillar. But here's what the caterpillar does. And this is what's so beautiful that I really hope that we would take note. How the transformation happens. A caterpillar truly only does one thing. You know what they do? They eat. That's it. And it's really amazing. You know where they're born? You know how, and this is so beautiful, the little caterpillars, you know, here comes the butterfly, lays those eggs. And really, it's so beautiful. The monarch butterfly, which is one of the prettiest ones there are, it lays all the eggs. And they make a crown. They do. It's just all the little eggs make an actual crown. And you know where it's sitting? It's sitting right on the food. Right on a leaf. So they're born right there where all the food is. God's faithful to you like that. By the grace of God, he brings us to a table to eat. And all that caterpillar does is eat and chew. Eat and chew, eat and chew, eat and chew. And matter of fact, they just are an eating machine. They grow, I think it's 8,000 times their weight in 3 weeks. I mean, you think about that. 8,000 times their weight in 3 weeks. So if you had a 6-pound baby, 8,000 times their weight, they'd be 48,000 pounds in 3 weeks. I hope we're Christians eating like that. The tonnage in here should be immense, huh? But they need this constant nourishment if they're really going to have the transformation be complete. And so, as I said, we have been placed, praise God, with a table that's prepared with strong meat. I was just glorying in the Lord. I thank God that the ministering that comes forth from the teaching and the teachers and the ministers and all of that. Yes, praise be to God at Living Waters Tabernacle. I thank the Lord when I go away or whatever. I'm confident in the Lord of the things that they have grown into and grown up with. It's been the whole counsel of God. It's rightfully dividing the truth. And I thank the Lord. That's why our young people know the truth. That's why they go on in the truth. That's why we have, praise the Lord, camp and kids get filled. And they're not just getting filled. It's not just to get filled. They're hearing, praise God, about, yea, the deep things of God, the purpose of their life, the purpose for their life. And then, praise God, here we have Paul's gospel to us glorious butterflies. You think about that. Yes, what did Paul say? I commend you to the word of his grace. And so, by the grace of God, what do? We eat and chew. And then eventually, by the grace of God, we're built up one way and we grow up into this masterpiece for Jesus Christ. But as you think about this once again, I know we get excited about this, but once you walk out that door, if the Lord tarry, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be right back to, oh, here's what my eyes see. You know that? Oh, here's what my eyes see. But I'm going to tell you something. But the faith that he's given you, isn't that more? Yes. Amen. And I'm talking about the faith by the grace of God that is in you. That faith, praise God, that knows that by grace, the masterpiece will come forth. As the word of God says, what he has sent will accomplish and prosper in the thing that he has sent to. Does he care any more about, or is he more exact with the life of a caterpillar going into a butterfly than your life, by the grace of God, growing up into him in all things to be his bride? You know, I already know the answer to that. He showed us with the sparrow. He said, you know, my eyes on the sparrow. One of those falls to the ground. Your life is worth a lot more than one sparrow. You can take all of his creation and things of that nature and think about that. How exact, how precise. That seed that he put in there is that exact. And we've heard so much testimony in ministry about seeds all the time, whether it's about that giant sequoia tree with a microscopic seed that you can't even see. But it's going to be that. And that's the word of God and what his promise is to us. He says, I will perform the good work which I've begun in you. And the Bible tells us about what we don't see. And I'm talking about what we don't see looking at ourselves or our loved ones we love so much that we want them to know the truth. As long as they're hearing this truth, as long as there's a feeding on it, let me tell you something, you still got hope. The Word of God says, it doth not yet appear. Amen? Isn't that beautiful how it says it? It doth not yet appear. That means it's going to appear. And matter of fact, the word of God says it doth not yet appear, but once again we know. See, there you're back to knowing. Do you know what lies in there? Are you as confident truly as the caterpillar? My life has one purpose. The glorious butterfly is going to come out and ascend into heaven. I'm telling you, that's not just something silly to think about today. By the grace of God, you need to have confidence like that. The one that creates such an amazing bug that becomes this glorious, flying, incredible, beautiful, royal thing. Let me tell you something, they're right out here. Us little bugs. But I feel those wings flapping encased in this carcass. I'm going to put off this corruptible, and you are too. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. And it ain't going to become incorruptible. The incorruptible is already inside, and you're going to put on the incorruptible. It's going to be clothed like him. It will be. And it's not going to change. It is that way. And I want you to take this today. Remember this. If it looks lovely, and it looks holy, and it looks so righteous, then it's not. If it looks like that, it's not. Either that or the word isn't true. I'm telling you, it's got to be that which doth not yet appear. It's got to be the weak. It's got to be the despised. It's got to be the base things of the world. It's got to be the scratch and dent Christian. And that's the truth. It's got to be the one that's overlooked and discarded and insulted, even by the self-righteous Christian. And I'm thankful I have been of those all my life. I'm continued to be of those all my life. I got a chance. Thanks be to God. And if that's us, truly, if that's us that are somehow discarded or looked down upon or, oh, you know, that's, you're not to this quality. Let me tell you something. Even if my dad, like David, he wasn't thinking of me when, you know, Samuel came and said, which one of your sons do you think will be the king? So if you're forgotten even of your own dad, if you're like that Samaritan woman that had to go to the well at noon, all by herself. And even the disciples said, man, I ain't going around her. Jesus, why are you going? If that's you, you know what? You're it. I mean, truly, by the grace of God, do you get who you are in Christ? Do you understand why your life is like it is? Do you see how the world and the enemy, what they want to come at you is give you the excuse that you don't go on or the excuse that you don't succeed because of how you are, how you look, or whatever? You've got to see the unseen. You have to understand you are the perfect caterpillar. Exact. Exact. And the Lord has put in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And all we need to do is just keep feeding and chewing. Feeding and chewing. And that's you. And I praise God, I'll tell you this. It's wonderful. They may not think so. But I'll tell you what. I get the privilege every Sunday to come in here and preach to a wonderful, priceless, goodly pearl. And it's not because of how you look. It's because of what you're feeding on. It can't produce anything but. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. Let's pray. Just again, come to you in Jesus' name, rejoicing, believing you, thanking you, God, again for your encouragement. That we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That, Lord, you've made us wonderfully, fearfully made for you. That, Lord, I thank God, and I do for my own life and for my brethren. Lord, help us to cease from our own works and enter into your rest. Lord, that transformation just comes from the feeding. You do transform us from glory to glory into your image. All of those wonderful, wonderful works, they'll come. But Lord, it's your working in us. It's from the transformation, Lord Jesus. Help us never to look at the outward appearance. Amen. Let us always have our hearts and our minds set in such thankfulness. It's Christ in me. It's Christ in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Christ liveth in me. And Lord, oh, what a joy and peace there is in believing that. And oh, what a happy bunch that by the grace of God will grow up fully into you in all things. I thank you for your faithfulness, Jesus. I thank you for your spirit and the power of your word and the power of your might. Lord, help us to believe in Jesus' name.